welcome everyone to Horror Cafe, where we're serving up a cup of horror one episode at a time. I'm Erica.
And I'm Jackie.
Wow. Are you not excited to be here?
I am. I'm just really dead tired today.
I know. This week has been a bitch, to say the least.
That's a nice word for it.
I know. But here we are.
Yes, indeed. We are here.
We are here to decompress.
Yes, from the stress of the week.
Yes.
It is a Thursday, early evening, mm-hmm. Not our usual recording day because Erica has some events coming up, so we needed to catch up.
We are caught up. Ish.
Ish. But I always need to be extra caught up.
I know. But yeah. We're doing the best we can with life happening all at the same time.
This is correct. So I don't know about you, but as you can see, all I'm having is a bottle of water today.
I'm not having anything.
Yeah.
I literally got home, picked everything up, and came over to record.
Right.
I would love some coffee right now, though, because I am dying.
Mm.
I'm dying.
Well, you should have told me. I would have made some.
It's okay.
You want to pause and I go make you some coffee?
No, it's quite all right.
All right, fine. Then get on with it.
And we are still in April.
This is true.
In our How Are We Getting Out of This Month?
Mm-hmm.
And this is episode 9, and we are doing fall.
F-A-L-L.
Yes. Fall.
Not the season, but the movie.
Right. Like if you're falling to your death.
Indeed. So would you like to read the plot?
I would. For best friends, Becky and Hunter, life is all about conquering fears and pushing limits. But after they climb 2,000 feet to the top of a remote, abandoned radio tower, they find themselves stranded with no way down. Now Becky and Hunter's expert climbing skills will be put to the ultimate test, not to mention their friendship, as they desperately fight to survive the elements, a lack of supplies, and vertigo-inducing heights in this adrenaline-fueled thriller.
Hmm.
Would you like to give us your version?
What version?
Yak's version.
Would you like to read it first?
No, by all means. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, yes. Did you like that? All right. So here's my version of what this movie is. Here's my plot. Two chicks climb a stick, and then it all goes to shit because of a dick.
Wow. That is blunt and to the point.
Indeed it is. But let's face it, that's really what this is all about in the end.
Yes, that's why I said their friendship is also challenged in this movie. I remember when this movie was announced, we watched, it wasn't a trailer, I think it was more of a teaser trailer. We saw the poster at the movie theater. This was released towards the end of the pandemic, where movie theaters were starting to pick up again. And we brushed this off.
We were like, right, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well. Then I checked it out, yet again, because of Josh from HMC. Mm-hmm. He said this movie was better, or just, I don't know if he had any thoughts about it. That's me saying that. He said it was really anxiety-inducing and a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, well, somebody watched it. They liked it in the horror community. Let me go check this out then, because you have to rent it.
Yeah.
This isn't free. So like everything, you have to see how you're going to spend this money.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first watched it, I was very shocked at how good this movie is and what they can do in the time that they had with two characters and how they made it very... They had heartfelt things, kind of like Frozen, but then they gave you the life and death situation that you're like, whoa. And how are they going to get out of this?
Yes.
How? Exactly. Because it's so terrible.
I agree. And he was right on both counts.
Who?
Josh.
Yes. Anxiety and a good movie.
Yes.
Agree.
Both. Because this is more so the first time I watched it, it felt like I was on edge the entire time.
Yes.
Completely. Not as much this time, but there were moments where I was like, oh my God, I can't.
You were a bit stressed.
A bit, which came in handy because it's the right kind of stress to de-stress from the stress I didn't like.
Yes.
Of this week.
Again, why horror movies are so fantastic.
They're fabulous. They're fabulous.
Anyway.
So would you like to get on with some movie facts? Because I mean, basically, from my point of view, it's the same thing. You called me, told me you got to watch it, and I did.
You did. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for watching and humoring.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's go into some movie facts. Rotten Tomatoes, critics and audience both gave it a 79.
Wow.
That's very high. And this is a PG-13 movie. So this was released on August 12th of 2022. It has a runtime of an hour and 47 minutes. This movie had a budget of $3 million and it grossed $21.8 million.
For nowadays, that's a small budget.
It is a small budget. And it did pretty good for itself, yeah, I'd say.
I'd say so.
This movie was originally intended to be a short. It wasn't supposed to be a full-length movie. This movie was filmed in IMAX format in the Shadow Mountains in California's Mojave Desert. I would love to see that desert.
Me too. I'd love to.
The look of the fictitious B-67 tower in the film was inspired by the real KXTV/KOVR tower, which is in Walnut Grove, California, and it is 2,049 feet high and one of the tallest structures in the world.
Wow.
So there you go. According to the director, who is Scott Mann, the filmmakers considered using a green screen or digital sets, but ultimately opted for the real thing.
And that's why it looked so good.
And that's exactly why it looks so good. They decided to build the upper portion of the top of the tower on top of a mountain so that the actors would appear to be thousands of feet in the air, even though they were, 100 feet off the ground is still high.
But that better is than still 2000. Pretty high.
Because I watched a YouTube behind the scenes of this.
Yeah.
And, it still looked, and they still had real elements of wind going on. So it was still significantly scary. And here's this fact. The two actresses did not do stunt. They opted out of stunt doubles. They did everything themselves.
Go girls.
They both did, rigorous workouts. There are two sequels in the works. I don't understand why we need a sequel. What is it now? She's going to go conquer more
things,
or is it going to be like an anthology? It's going to be another set of people.
Another set of people with a bunch of controversy.
I mean, come on. Why? We don't always need a sequel.
I agree, but
but it made money, so you know how it is.
Exactly. If it made money once, why can't it make more money twice and then another time?
Right. The last thing, I forgot to type it in here, but it was part of that YouTube video I watched. So, like I mentioned, this movie is PG-13.
Oh, I was wondering if you had read that or seen that. Go for it.
Okay. I guess you may know. And when it's PG-13, you can't curse as much?
Yep.
Oh, is this what you read?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there is more cursing than is really in the movie. Mm-hmm. And they used AI to, instead of having to go reshoot, which would cost more and it was time, it would be more time.
Delay everything.
They used AI to fix the actress's mouth to make it look like she's saying freaking instead of fuck.
Yes.
And it's funny because during that scene, I'm like, this doesn't seem to match.
Right.
I thought it seemed out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to comment on it because I'm like, why wouldn't she just say fuck?
Right.
Why are you saying freaking? Nobody says that. And then I realized, okay, it is a PG-13 movie, but it seems so...
not real, not right.
Real. It seemed out of place in those scenes.
Well, and it is completely out of place. Now that you mention it, yes.
And now when they said that, I'm like, great. It wasn't that it seemed odd to me. It's that they did fix it. I mean, it's still really... it was really well done.
You can't tell. It's just that it...
it didn't
fit. It didn't match the
situation.
Yeah, exactly. Or the person.
Right, because they would be cursing.
Yes.
But
especially Hunter.
Agree.
Yes.
But that's why, and that helped me, that made me feel better, that I wasn't crazy.
Well, the jury is still out on that, but we'll let that slide for now.
We will. And that's all I have for movie facts. You?
No, I just read that one piece there that you just talked about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, then we can go into movie observations.
Well, let's talk about the characters.
Go for it.
So we have Grace Carolyn Curry, and that is Becky Connor. Mm-hmm. Virginia Gardner as Shiloh Hunter. Mm-hmm. Mason Gooding as Dan Connor, mm-hmm. who is married or was married to Becky. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Negan, mm-hmm. as James Connor. There is no way this guy will ever outlive that name.
Isn't that sad?
Kind of.
Poor guy.
But isn't that true of everybody on that show? Because Glenn is still Glenn.
Glenn is still Glenn. And he has come out of this.
Yes.
But I will always call him Glenn instead
and
of
Rick
Steven.
And Rick is still Rick.
Yoon, Yun. Sorry if I said that wrong. Yes, that actor is always going to be Rick Grimes.
And Danai is still, no matter what, Michonne.
Michonne.
Yeah.
I know. And it's true because Daniel Radcliffe is always Harry. And he has definitely broken out of it, but he's always Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's...
Ooh, Harry.
A-okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go.
Yes.
Let's do it. Let's go climb.
All right. So this movie...
To then fall.
Yes. This movie opens up on the side of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just straight up and down. What is that considered? Is that 90 degrees or 80 degrees, 100? I don't know. Some kind of degree that's 90. Up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three of them. There's Becky and Hunter and there is, what's his name? Dan.
Mm-hmm.
They're climbing. Yeah, they're all, you know how it is. Because people who climb mountains like that with not much on them as far as safety is concerned are just joking around and jumping.
Well, they're used to it. They're clearly doing this as they're hot. This is something they like to do.
No. I'm great with it.
Okay.
I think it's insane. Unfortunately, Dan goes to put one of those thingamajigs, I don't know what they're called, that grabs onto the rock so you don't fall to your death. But guess what? Unfortunately, when he's doing that, some bird comes out of this hole, pushes him, and he literally, the thing snaps, and he falls to his death.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty gruesome.
It was just shocking to start the movie that way.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, and I don't, tell me if you felt the same. I didn't realize that Becky and Dan were married until a little bit later in the movie, because they seem like just boyfriend and girlfriend for some reason.
Why? What made you think that?
How young they looked. I know that has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't give me married vibes.
Mm. Okay.
At all. And it wasn't until later.
Because we saw the photo, wasn't it?
No.
On her phone?
For me, I realized when she was having a dream that she had a ring on. I'm like, oh, she had a ring. And then I realized she was wearing it.
Yeah, okay.
Because then, the only reason I'm saying this is because he dies and Becky goes on this 11-month grieving period.
Yes.
I mean, it's bad.
She's boozing it up.
She's drinking. She just basically doesn't.
She's abandoned her life.
She's ignoring her dad. Her mm-hmm. dad's trying to be there for her and basically telling him, if you had died, he would not be like this.
Right.
Like, I guess saying what type of guy he was, the dad knew what kind of guy.
He disapproved of him. He made it. You could tell.
You could tell.
That he disapproved of Dan.
Right. You know, and he's just trying to be there for her. She said no. But so the reason I was shocked later, that it made more sense later, because her grief was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not discounting a non-married relationship, but I'm like, but they weren't even married. Why is this grief so long? And granted, at the same time, I understand that everybody grieves differently.
Yes.
But I thought maybe it was like a boyfriend, girlfriend from a few months. You don't get much backstory. I made this up in my head.
In your head. So you thought that they were like a new couple and it's like, okay.
Maybe
well.
Not new, but not that long. It's like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a lot. But now, once you find out or realize, I should say, that they're married, I can understand that
mm-hmm.
a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, come on, girl.
Move on?
Maybe.
As her dad said?
Yeah. You know, she can't throw your life away.
Well, you gotta keep going.
Yeah.
So, yes, I agree. Now, it's a year later, and
almost.
Hunter mm-hmm. almost shows up at her apartment.
Yeah.
Apparently, Dad has called, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, go help her.
Right.
And she comes up with this idea that they're going to climb the, what is it? The B-67 tower in the desert before it is completely demolished.
Right.
And they go back and forth. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. And then she agrees.
Becky does agree. And Hunter does this whole thing. Oh, you can throw his ashes up there.
Right.
And face your fear. Because, of course, we talked about this during Frozen. Would she ever climb again? Mm-hmm. Because now that accident happened. But it's like a surfer getting bit by a shark. Do they go back
out? Get back on the horse, so to speak. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now, I have a question. Is it, in these situations, because this happens in movies and perhaps real life, is the dad right or wrong in calling the friend to intervene?
I think he was right.
Yeah?
Yeah. You don't?
I suppose. But I'm just curious.
He wasn't able to get through.
Mm. So somebody had to do something?
So something had to get her out of that funk? Situation, that funk. I don't think that he really wanted her to go climb a tower. I don't think that was the intention.
Yeah.
But he thought, oh, her girlfriend will be here. She'll cheer her up. Mm. Because what we discover in the movie is that Hunter has disappeared literally for that whole time.
Yes.
And has gone, what is this, adventure seeking, life thrill
Danger
seeker?
Danger D.
Danger D, is that her name?
Was it Danger? Something like, where does the D come from if her name is Shiloh Hunter?
I don't know.
Anyway, but yeah, she has a... She's an influencer, and she does extreme
things. Yes.
And I'm sure the dad regretted that at the end, like calling her.
Probably, but maybe not, because it brought them back together.
Bring them back together, so.
Because a lot of things were learned on that tower.
On this nice little tower, literally little in different aspects. But
yep.
But yes, they do decide to climb this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hunter, I'm going to say it now, is a very annoying and bad friend. Because if Becky is telling you no, drop it. You can do so many other things to help her heal in this situation. I don't think forcing her, face your fear, or if you don't face it, like, why are you doing this to her?
Right.
I don't think that's okay. She bothered me throughout the whole movie with that attitude because I don't think that's the right thing to do. And she oddly had moments where she looked like Reese Witherspoon or could play her sister.
You said that when we were watching this movie.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. She kind of could pass for a relative of hers in any upcoming movies that Madame Witherspoon might have in the works.
Or her daughter at this point. Oh, yeah. She could play her daughter.
Yeah.
In a movie.
For sure.
Because.
Well, yes. Yeah,
at this point.
Yes. I agree.
They drive there.
Yeah.
And there's a gate they can't get through. So not only do they have to climb this thing, now they have to walk a mile or two.
But wait.
To get to it.
And the gate says, what was it? Risk of death, or you're going to die, basically.
Risk of death. I mean, that's foreshadowing. Actually, Dan falling to his death at the beginning is a form of foreshadowing. And then this sign is definitely foreshadowing.
Yep.
And let's point something out. Becky is... I don't have any experience or knowledge of climbing, or I'm sure there's a proper name for this extreme sport.
Yep.
But she seems appropriately dressed because she's wearing some type of legging, sneakers, like
she's
actual
dressed
sneakers.
The way you're supposed to be for climbing.
The other one, Hunter, is in short shorts, a push-up bra, tank top with a like Hawaiian flowy shirt, and Converse.
Yes. To climb.
To climb. 2,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have chafing.
Yes, for sure. No matter how skinny she is.
That doesn't even make sense.
Exactly. And there's only one bag.
Yeah.
One backpack with one bottle of water and a drone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? There's two people. Each of them should have had a backpack with water in it.
Yes, I assume that they thought, or at least Hunter, because I think she was the mastermind here. Becky,
you think? No. She was.
Clearly. I think Hunter just thought, all right, we're going to do this in 2 to 3 hours mm-hmm. and we're going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So why overpack and why pack all this stuff?
I still think it's stupid.
I understand that, but I'm going to assume this is the thought process.
That, yes, it might be, but, you know, 3 hours with one bottle of water for two people is stupid, even if it's just 3 hours. Well, in the desert where you're dehydrating.
In the desert.
Yes.
You can't remember your name.
Okay. So.
I love that song.
I know you do.
A Horse with No Name, Everyone by America. One of my favorite songs of all time.
I know.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about that song. I love it. It's very mystical.
Yeah.
If I ever, I hope one day to see real desert. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Red rocks, beautiful desert. Mm-hmm. And I will play this song.
Okay.
As I go through the desert. Okay. FYI.
All righty. Are you done with your America tangent and singing Horse with No Name and this dream that you have of a red rock desert? And
la, la, la,
just make
la,
sure la, that la, you la, take
la,
water.
La, la. I mean, I would be in a car, so.
You still need water.
I know.
Because.
But then you can't pee. There's no bathroom.
Well, you're in a desert.
The world is my toilet?
Pretty much.
Okay.
So anyway.
Yes, I am officially done with this tangent. I apologize for the bad singing and this tangent. All Please right. continue.
So here they are at the base of this thing. Mm. Okay. Tell me that that does not look horrifying from the ground up. It looks endless. Endless.
Not only endless, but it's all rusted.
Well, yes.
I mean, even a mountain is safer because it's solid rock.
Absolutely. A mountain is safer than that shit.
But it's all rusted. You could see it everywhere. Screws loose. They have screws loose, that's for sure.
Yes, they do.
But they climb this.
They climb and they go up. And there's a part where one of the rungs gives out when Becky's climbing. And yet she continues. The other one continues. They get to this one portion where they're like satellite dishes. I don't know what the hell they look like big umbrellas or whatever.
Yeah.
And they have to like go around it.
Shimmy around.
Yes. And then go up another ladder to the very platform at the top.
Becky has another moment where she's like, I'm not doing this.
Yes.
And Hunter, yet again, in my opinion, guilt trips her and pushes
her. It's there where she says, I can't do this. Yeah. I think where those, whatever those things are.
No, she did it towards the bottom.
Oh, it was?
Or even before they went up.
Oh, okay.
It happened again.
Hmm. Oh, that's true. You're right.
They do, you know, she does ask to take a break at some point on the way up, but she said it again.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. That's not okay.
Well, look at what it led them to.
No kidding.
So anyway, they get to the platform. Oh, yes, it's beautiful. I'm so happy I did this. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the platform is what, like 5 feet wide, if anything?
If anything.
I don't even know. It's very narrow.
It's
round. It goes around it.
Mm-hmm.
They scatter Dan's ashes, hasta la vista, fucker, and, you know, goodbye.
They do all the, you know, the selfies, the drone. They hang from the platform edge
which was
with
crazy.
One hand, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
They do all this stuff.
Right.
And when they try to go back down,
mm-hmm.
well.
Becky was the first one. Becky was the one who went down.
Yes.
And she starts going. And on her way up, we see on that portion mm-hmm. of it that
top
a bolt.
Ladder. Yes.
Falls out.
Yes, leaving it boltless.
And she does hear the noise, but she keeps on.
Yeah.
But now on the way down, well, the bolt isn't there, the weight is, and that mm-hmm. thing comes undone.
And I thought that was a great shot, too.
It was.
When it looks like she's doing the monkey bars.
Uh-huh.
But it's not, it's that she's going to fall to her death.
Uh-huh.
And she is lucky. This was the only stuff I did find. I mean, it's all pretty fantastical, but this I did find fantastical is that she's lucky that Hunter did grab on because they're tethered to each other
right.
by a 50-foot rope.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky was lucky that Hunter had a quick reaction to grab onto the middle pole on the platform.
Right.
To basically
ground it.
Ground her.
Mm-hmm.
But would she have been able to?
I don't know. But what does happen is that this chick swings around in the air because it is very windy up there.
Yeah.
She's just swinging haphazardly and she finally bangs up her leg. She literally slams into that pole. Can you imagine the force with which she hit that, that thing?
And she gets a cut.
And then she gets a cut, which I think is from the ladder.
Oh, maybe.
And guess what? That ladder's rusted.
Mm-hmm. Tetanus.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that ladder just fall to the ground.
And I'm going to say it right now. That's probably my favorite scene in this movie. I know we'll get to it, but it is. And I'll say why later. But yes, it just falls.
And it's terrifying to watch it just go and go.
And go.
And go. And you realize the panic of, oh my God, we can't get down.
Yes, but they don't realize that quite just yet.
No, which I don't understand how that didn't compute.
Because they weren't looking down. They were concentrating on getting Becky up on the platform. I think that they thought that only a portion of it
was gone.
Was gone. Oh. Not all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you as a, well, at least I didn't know either. I thought it was only the portion up until the satellite.
Right.
But it's literally.
But then you realize later that, oh man, this is really fucked.
It is.
They are so screwed.
So Becky gets back up there and now they are freaking out because they realize, once they really realize what's going on, they do realize that they're stuck.
Yep.
They do have this interesting idea to throw the cell phone down with a post to Instagram that the theory is, yes, they don't have signal. Thank God, at least in this movie, they had their cell phones up with them, unlike Frozen. But they have this idea to start posting something on Instagram, and hopefully by the time it lands,
it will pick up the signal.
Pick up the signal and post it.
But something we forgot to mention. When all that shit happened with Becky, she was wearing the backpack and it fell.
Oh, right. It fell on the satellite.
So now they're up there with nothing.
Right. Not even that one bottle of water.
Correct.
For the drone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. They throw the cell phone down in Hunter's shoe padded with her sock.
And her bra.
And her padded bra.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it, but I don't think any padding at that height is gonna cushion a fall only of 2,000 feet.
Only something else.
And even then, I think that's...
I don't know. I think that was well done. That was smart. You don't think
it's going to be shattered?
Nope.
Well, no, I think... But even then, I think wouldn't the body... Anyway.
All right. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's a waiting game to see if this worked.
Right.
So at least, unlike Frozen, they waited before attempting...
Stupidities. Right.
Or, well, it's not that it's stupid, it's that they need to do something.
There's nothing else.
There's nothing else to do. They do wait a full 24 hours.
They do. And they find, like, a box at the very top of that platform where they're at, which holds a flare gun.
Yes. And a pair of binoculars.
Right.
Yes.
They notice that, as they're looking through the binoculars, they notice that there's a camping, an RV camper out there. Mm-hmm. And one guy is walking around, and they wait till night to fire, night, to fire off the flare gun.
Mm-hmm.
They notice, but guess what they do instead? They drive in the camper to Becky's truck, and they steal it, and they leave.
That's messed up.
Very.
That is so shitty. And I actually like that twist because that's probable.
That's kind of human nature with some people.
Yes, which is very sad. But I'm glad they didn't just automatically make them the hero.
Yeah.
That they're going to come and save these two
girls. Well, I mean, you knew they weren't going to be heroes because then the movie would have ended.
Yeah, because the movie's still, I think it's pretty much at half point.
Yeah.
You know, you still have something to go.
Mm-hmm.
Becky does notice something interesting on Hunter's... foot, ankle,
the side of her ankle. Yeah, this is where the stuff gets good.
Where it starts planting a seed, because she notices it on her foot. It says it's the number. What's tattooed is the numbers 1, 4, 3. Now there's a dream sequence before they go climb this thing, where Becky is dreaming that she's still waking up next to Dan, and he apparently can't say I love you, which I'm sorry, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I agree.
But hey. It
says a lot about Dan.
It sure does. And what he does is he Morse codes it.
Right.
He'll tap.
Uh-huh.
He'll tap his finger one for I, and then four times for love, and uh-huh. three times for the you. That's how he says I love you.
Right.
They show that.
And that's tattooed on Hunter's ankle.
Yes.
Her foot, actually, but yeah.
Her foot, yeah.
Right beneath the ankle.
And Becky is, interesting.
And then she just basically looks at her and says, how long?
Eventually. When? I don't think it's that quick.
No, it isn't right then and there. Other stuff happens. But I mean, it's the insanity of it.
Yeah.
She basically at one point turns to her because she says something that triggers it.
Yeah.
Oh, I think she wasn't she crying or something?
So there was, okay, so they're up there, they're stuck, and they start, of course, you know, having these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the times, Becky is recording Hunter asking why she does this,
mm-hmm.
the extreme stuff. And Hunter says, for Dan. And you can tell Becky's like,
mm-hmm.
why? Oh, because he loved doing this, and he says live every day, basically, blah, blah, blah.
Right. It's
something along those lines, mm-hmm. where you're like, all right. But it's when, I think it's when Becky is looking at a wedding video, and she sees.
Yes, and she zooms in.
She that's sees right. Hunter's face in the background, and she's like, well, that's weird.
Uh-huh.
But I think it was a combo of the tattoo, the saying this is for him, the wedding. And there is something else that's mentioned that now I can't remember.
Right.
And that's when Becky realizes, oh,
yeah.
something definitely happened here, and asks
mm-hmm.
how long.
I think the biggest clue there was the 1-4-3, because that's
agreed.
Not common.
That's very
everything
specific.
Else could have been what it was.
Yes.
But that, right then and there, that's when she should have said, hey, what
right.
the hell?
Right. And apparently it went on for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And ended shortly before their wedding.
Right.
But, yeah.
It happened.
It still happened. And that's your quote-unquote best friend
mm-hmm.
and your fiancé slash husband-to-be.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Exactly.
That is pretty shitty. And can you imagine finding this out
2,000 feet? Up in the air?
In the air with nowhere to go.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to get rid of her at that point, this would have been the point. Nobody could say anything.
That is true. And the next day, I feel...
So wait, so Negan was right.
Negan was right.
Yes.
The next day, I did feel this way, that Hunter did this because she felt like she owed Becky the situation. She's going to... go and try to get this bag.
Yeah, she's feeling guilty.
She's
deciding to go get the bag to have water and also the whatever it's called, that thing.
The drone.
Thank you. I was going to say the fly was making flapping
yeah.
motions. Flying thing, the drone.
The drone.
Yes.
And she mentions that she's going down because she figures out how to make the rope get a little bit longer to reach the bag. She says on her way down, well, maybe you'll get lucky and I'll fall.
Yeah.
So that was more foreshadowing and also the guilt and not projecting, but maybe in a way Becky thought it. You never
probably.
Know. She's probably like, you should fall, you bitch.
Probably. I mean, come on. Maybe she doesn't really, really mean it, but at the same time, it's that anger.
Right.
It was the betrayal.
Absolutely. On both parts.
On both parts. But even more so, this is her friend.
Friend, yes. I think it's not making it seem like the male side of it is any less. But yes, this is your best female friend,
mm-hmm.
and this is what you do?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
He was just a scumbag.
Apparently. Who can't
clearly.
Say I love you.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Uh-huh.
Come on. That's, yeah. I call, complete bullshit.
Yet again, Negan was right.
Negan
so
was
there
right.
we go.
Anyway, Hunter does try. She does make it to the bag,
mm-hmm.
and she is able to get it back on this rope to, you know, have it go back up. And what she does is she has to leap at the bag to try
right.
to grab it to get pulled back up,
mm-hmm.
which she does.
Listen, these chicks have arm power like there is no tomorrow.
They really do. I, like in Frozen, I would not be able to do any of this.
Neither could I.
Granted.
I just
they
can't.
Train for this.
Yes.
You know, this is an activity that they do.
All right. But here's my other point that I made when we were watching this.
Yes. Go for it.
Becky has been a lush for almost a year.
Right.
There is no way she's in shape for this in 2 days.
Which was another thing that makes me mad in the reality of it, is that why is Hunter having her do this if she knows
she can't possibly be in the right shape for that?
Right.
And, okay, this doesn't even vaguely, remotely at all compare. Several years ago, you know, I went indoor climbing, rock wall, whatever the hell it's called. Yes. It was fun. It was great. And it wasn't scary because, yes, it's high, but it's not that high.
Right.
But what I did realize was if you do not have upper body strength, you cannot do this.
Right.
It's not just your legs. It's your arms.
Mm-hmm.
On that little short thing up, that's what I realized. And I was like, wow, this is, there's no way I could do this.
Right. Can you imagine in real life?
Exactly.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, that's my point is like she's been out of commission for a year. No.
Yeah. All right. So somehow Becky also gets Hunter back up.
Mm-hmm.
I did point out something silly.
Mm-hmm.
And when Becky was sitting there pulling, I pointed out that I'm like, this girl is either a gymnast or a ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way she's pointing her feet. Mm-hmm. She has the posturing of a ballerina.
Only you would notice this.
Yes. And not that I know it, but I'm obsessed with ballet.
You are. You have been since forever.
I was forever. And in the YouTube video I watched from behind the scenes, she was doing ballet, like pliés and fondues and things like that. I go, uh-huh, see, called it. So I
look at you in that eagle eye of yours.
Detail. And those are some strong-ass people.
Yes.
Okay? Ballerinas and ballet dancers, those are very underrated, in my opinion, form of athleticism because there's a lot of stamina involved.
Yes, there is.
And
balance, strength,
muscle movement. There are muscles that you don't even know about that are engaged during that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it was, I don't know if respected, just admired more than what I think it is. It is beautiful, but I see it more as like I admire the strength and stamina.
I agree. It takes a lot.
That it takes. Anyway, off on that tangent.
Yeah.
But she pulls her up and, you know, ha ha ha, we did it. And now we have the bag, we have the water, we have the drone.
Right. So the idea is to fly this drone to a nearby hotel where they had stayed with a note attached to it.
It's a good idea.
It is a good idea. Lo and behold, the thing is running out of battery. But while they were at a restaurant before going, Becky needed to charge her phone, and Hunter said, hey, here, just unscrew this light bulb in a lamp that was at their table and just put it in there. It'll charge it up right away. She's like, oh, how cool. Well, there is another 30 feet of really thin pole that goes up where the light is.
Yeah.
There's a light on because otherwise planes would hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the idea of climbing up, she meaning Becky, climbing up that pole to charge the drone. Which is literally on the last, there's four bars, it's on the last bar.
But here's the kicker on this. Two kickers. One, in that behind the scenes YouTube video, they said that that is possible.
Okay.
The prong in a electrical, not outlet, but the light bulb thing.
Yeah.
Okay, three things. My other thing, who has changed that light bulb? Because it looked new and clean.
Well, they have to have people go up there.
Right, so that's crazy that
Somebody is still doing
that.
Maybe they're helicoptered in. I don't know.
I'm assuming. I would hope
so. Maybe they suspend him in the air and he's there trying.
Matt? Oh, God, no. Three, this was terrifying because not only does she have to climb this small ass stick.
She's wounded and it's getting worse.
She's wounded. It's getting worse. You have no grip. So I don't even understand how she was able to get up, but she did.
Mm-hmm.
And now she has to literally hold her own weight while this thing is charging.
And the wind is insane.
Right.
And she's being attacked by vultures.
Yeah. So that was a lot. That to me was one of the most stressful things because how?
Mm-hmm. The will to live, to survive.
It seemed crazy.
Yes, it is.
But it does charge.
Yes. All four bars.
They write the note where they're at. Help, please. You mentioned that they should have put a date.
Yep.
I agree, because they could have found it and been like, well, these people are dead.
Right.
And they make it happen. They get it to the hotel.
But
of course, because then we wouldn't have a movie or more drama, a truck hits it.
A semi hits it.
And it lands on the ground. Some truck does stop, but doesn't see it doesn't care.
Yeah.
And walks away.
He just went to see what happened to his truck. And then he just drove off. He didn't even see the drone.
I don't think he even saw the drone. Exactly. No. So now they're stuck again.
Yeah. So by now, Becky is delirious from lack of food.
Yep.
Water's all used up.
Mm-hmm.
She then, let me think, what does she do?
So for a moment, now they're talking about the cell phone again.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Thank you. Becky says, we got to do it again. Let's use your other shoe because Becky has no shoes on.
Right, because she had thrown them as well.
She had thrown them to another guy that passed by with his dog.
Right.
But he didn't see them either or chose to ignore one or the other.
Right.
And when she asks Hunter for the shoe, Hunter says, you can't have my shoe. Becky's like, well, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, because I'm dead.
Yeah.
And I'm down there.
And then Becky looks over the edge, and there's Hunter. She did not make it. Becky has been hallucinating this entire time.
Yeah.
I will say that towards the end, after she goes up, that part from when she goes up the pole to that conversation that they have after the pole.
Yeah.
You can see that, you see it now after the fact, you see that Hunter isn't present, so to speak.
Right. She's very calm.
And she's like distant, even physically distant from her.
And always looking away.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she's not there. This girl is hallucinating.
I thought this was a great little twist.
Oh, it was a fabulous twist.
Because I didn't see it coming. They edited really well.
Very well. Yeah.
So that all you see is her trying to go towards the bag.
Right.
And either option could have happened and you just celebrate it as the audience because she came up with the bag.
Right.
So you're like, okay, she survived. But on second watch, it is interesting to do the second watch and realize that it's obvious that something is wrong because she also doesn't show one side of her face for a reason.
Because
it's injured
from
her fall.
Right.
And it's hallucination slash in her brain trying to cope with
the reality.
With being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it was also a coping mechanism to get her, to motivate her to climb up that pole.
Correct.
And for now to figure out, like, you need to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Survival of the fittest.
Yep.
Because Becky ends up killing a vulture to eat it raw.
She eats, because the vulture, it's the next day and she's sleeping and the vulture comes and sits next to her.
Yeah.
Man, those things are big.
I see that.
They are
big.
We have seen them in the Everglades, and they are huge.
This one seemed even bigger, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's different varieties.
Exactly. And because she's got that open wound, I'm sure it smells pretty bad by now, and we know that that's what they're attracted to. Mm-hmm. And the vulture is there, and it starts to peck at her wound.
Yeah.
She gets so mad that she literally grabs him by the neck.
Yep.
Overpowers this huge bird, smashes its head, and then just eats it.
And as much as I would say I would not do that, I think we are not put in that, we haven't been in a situation like that.
That's why I would say never say never.
Right. Because I think when you need to survive, the body and the mind will make you do what you need to do to try to survive.
Yeah. And we know this because now she's recovered a little bit of strength.
Yeah.
And she decides to take action. And she makes it back down via the rope to where the satellite dishes, whatever the hell they're called.
Where Hunter's body is.
Where her body is.
Yes.
And there's Hunter dead. She died with her eyes wide open.
I know. That's so scary.
Been horrible. She grabs her shoe, stuffs her phone. She texts the message to her dad.
Yes.
She stuffs the phone in the shoe.
Yep.
But not only that, Hunter has a huge gash on her stomach.
Yes.
From the vultures eating her.
Mm-hmm.
And what she does, Becky, is slam the shoe up inside her body.
Yeah. Smart, though.
And then pushes her over the edge. And she
said,
falls.
I'm sorry, I love you.
And pushes her and she's gone. I mean, she's dead, so whatever.
Right.
I mean, I know that sounds kind of callous. It is a body. It's a human being. But at that point...
But it's no longer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just skin.
Yes.
And bones. And the next thing you know, the place, it's at night. It's covered with cops and ambulances. We see Negan. Yes, I know it's not his name. I don't care. We see him get there. He sees a body bag and he's like, oh my God, it's my daughter. She's dead. And then he hears her calling.
Dad! Dad!
Dad! Like all girls.
Yeah, right?
And here comes Daddy, hugs her, and there it goes. That was it.
And that was it. All right. Here's my thing with this, mm-hmm. and I mentioned it when we were watching the yes. movie. This is going to sound horrible,
okay?
But we're putting it out there.
Go for it.
The minute he heard his daughter's voice, he's like, oh, thank God it's not her.
Yes.
Better her than my kid.
Yes.
I can only imagine how many parents would probably think the
same.
Oh,
I would think this. I'm going to be honest, and sure, go come at me, folks. That's fine. If it were you or somebody else, better her than you.
Yeah.
I would not resent somebody for thinking for believing the same thing if it were.
Because it's your kid.
Yeah.
But his relief was so evident when he heard it. He's like, well, shit, great. It's not her.
Right.
That's good.
It's like, whatever.
Whatever.
Let me walk to my beautiful
I guess dog. That's Hunter. All right. Let me go, hug my kid. And it's interesting in these movies, right, where there's always when there's a family dynamic that, oh, they're mad at their mom or their dad or both.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was up there, she mentioned to Hunter, all I want to do is talk to
my dad.
To my dad. And mm-hmm. after all, 11 months of ignoring him, and this is what got you to want to now love. Reach out. And it also made me sad when they were stuck up there. They do go back to the dad for a second. And he's texting her, and the last thing he sent her was, hey, you know what? When you're ready, I am here for you. I mm-hmm. love you, dad, blah, blah, blah. You know, the parent thing.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting how – that's why I really try to never end the day on a bad note.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Archie. Okay, Archie has left the room.
Yes, he has.
He did – he has to always make an appearance.
He does.
Archie Andrews. But yeah, I try not to end things on a bad note because you just never know what's going to happen.
You may not wake up the next day or the other person. You
or
never know.
Something happens. But there is something about a father-daughter relationship that is always special.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's funny how her thing with her dad, something else they were talking about, was wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's interesting that, because like dad and I have the video games together. Right. And that is, these are things that bring, the opposite sex, right? Because you're mm-hmm. a woman and a man, father, daughter. You don't think you're going to have things in common, like with a mother, daughter, because mm-hmm. you're going to like the makeup and the but you can still have something so much fun to do with your dad.
Yeah. My thing with my dad was boxing. I loved watching boxing with him.
Yeah.
I haven't watched a boxing match in so long.
Mm.
I think maybe because... Well, there aren't that many great matches like there were back in those days.
Yeah.
At least that's how I feel. But he and I used to watch it. Like, I think I remember maybe starting because he was watching it and he was by himself. And I just sat down with him to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And he started talking to me and, about it. And all of a sudden I was in it and into it. And we would watch boxing matches together.
Nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cute. Mm-hmm. So there is something very special about a father-daughter relationship and having those like tomboy moments like mm-hmm. that. But then also he played Barbies with me as a kid.
Yes, he did. He sat there and had tea with you and the Barbies.
With Oreos and, milk.
Right.
And he was Ken, I was Barbie, or he was Barbie and I was another Barbie. It just, he participated.
And he lifted his pinky too.
Yeah. So, it's just, there's something very special and there's nothing like a dad hug. Mm-hmm. And dads are always right, as much as daughters are always like, ugh, whatever. We know it. It's just, especially at that age, where, because that's why I kept saying, are they're married? Because she seemed like a teenager-ish.
She didn't
young
seem
adult.
That way to me. She
but,
seemed... Not
initially, she seemed like a maybe very young adult,
mm-hmm.
Teenager maybe pushing it, but, early 20s. Mm-hmm. And you know how it is. You're very stubborn when you're young. But the point is, father-daughter relationships are very special. I love you, Dad. Okay, thanks. Because I know you listen.
He sure does.
Our number one fans.
He sure is.
Dad. So, you know, and with that, I will always play video games, and video games have connected me to many people and many friendships and such. So thank you, Dad, because you brought that gift to me, and I always say thank you, and now I can say it out in public.
And such.
Anyway, went on that tangent because I think even though it's not a huge, it actually is a big portion of the movie is the father-daughter relationship.
It is.
So I just wanted to go on that little.
It's our show. You can do whatever the hell you want.
This one has a few tangents going on.
From you, yes.
Anyway, any final thoughts on the movie?
No. Yes. No, yes. Yes, no. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Just as anxiety-driving, stress-relieving as it was the first time around. I mean, I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But having them do all those climbs up and down and back and forth and hanging off the side of a thing was just
terrible.
It was like, stop that. Stop it. Stop it now.
Stop doing that. Get back on there. Try to live.
Cool. So, yeah.
All right. Category time?
Yeah. Let's go for it.
Sound and movies. I put the overall sounds of the tower when they're climbing it. You can hear the rust.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear the clacking of the ladder, the wind hitting this tower. And you're like, oh my God, this ladder is going to break.
This whole thing is going to collapse.
The sounds of the screw, like the whole tower. The tower is a character on its own.
It sure is.
Very intimidating. And I just liked it because it added that extra, oh my God, this is going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And guess what?
It did. Yeah. I'm there with you. I like the sound of the bolts. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
It was very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the scene when the ladders fall. And you're just seeing them fall. And they pan up to them too.
Yeah.
And then they pan back down. And it's been a while since those things went hurtling to their death.
Yeah.
And then you hear the sound.
Mm.
I didn't notice that on the first
view,
but on this one, it made a big impression on me. How high up they were, that it took a while for it to get there and make the sound of crashing.
Mm.
And then there's an extra. We have extras in this movie.
We do.
And those are the vultures.
True. Yep.
They played an integral part here.
Mm-hmm.
So that, the pecking, their sound, the wings flapping.
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic.
What about best scene? Give us the deets.
For me, it's when the ladder gives out. I said it before. To me, it sets the tone for the entire movie.
Mm.
Because that is it. That's the point of no return. It's all fucked from here on in. What was it?
It's true.
You can't start. Oh!
You can't start at fuck?
This movie is exactly
both
that.
Both of them.
Yes.
Frozen. We should have named it that. You can't start at fuck.
That's right.
That's okay.
That's true.
That's like the subtitle.
There you go.
Excellent. For me, I mean, I don't know. It was hard. I'm going to have to say when you find out that Hunter is dead. Because it was very, it was very shocking. I just did not see that coming. And it's interesting how the mind will and can do things like that to help you get through
it. To cope.
Because it also, again, it helped her get up that pole.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, that happened after the pole. Her realizing that it was.
No, hold on a second.
Mm-mm.
Because they brought the bag back up. She's charging the drone.
Yes,
honey. Hunter's already dead.
No, she's already dead, but she's still.
Right. So that's I'm just making sure.
Okay.
So she even used that as a way to get her, motivate her to go up.
Yes. Correct.
Because I will say, as much as Hunter pissed me off, in that scene, she's not real, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the real Hunter. She is good at amping her friend up.
Getting her to do.
To get her up there and motivating her to get up the pole.
Right.
So I'll have to say when you find that out, it is very shocking. I thought it was really well done. And the way they edit it, it makes it like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
It's a good one. What about best character?
Wow. You know, as you can see, I wrote nothing in the outline.
Mm.
And the reason is I needed to talk about the movie to see who I felt was the best character.
Ah.
And I have to go with Negan.
Well, that's who I put. I know. The dad as well.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know why. He's not in it that long. He probably has a total of 5 minutes in this whole movie.
Right.
But he's the dad. Mm-hmm. Should have listened to him, or at least, if you don't want to, you know, I get it. You don't listen to people's opinion about who you love or care for, but at least listen to him in this aspect now. Like, you got to get your life back. Mm-hmm. And he's just trying to help. And I liked it. I liked how he didn't get angry. He just sent the, whenever you're ready.
I'm ready.
He was so sympathetic, and I felt bad for him. And he was there for her the whole time. And just seeing him at the end was so nice. Like, just hugging her, and it was cool.
For all those reasons, that's why I waited to talk about it, to see who would be the best character.
Yeah.
And it was him.
Nice.
So, what character would you play?
I put the dad, too. Because I always feel like I am that supporting character in people's lives. Like, I am that. I'm here for people if you want me to be here, and I like to be supportive. I don't see myself in any of the other two characters. Not that this is who you would play.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard question. Yeah. But I don't know. I wouldn't be the girls either. Mm. I wouldn't want to play them.
I would actually like to play Hunter, and I'm going to tell you why, because of the physical aspects of it. I admire somebody who can do
that
kind of stuff. Not the danger part.
Yeah.
But the ability to have that strength is something that I don't want to say envy, because I hate that word, but I admire it. Yeah. And I wish I could do that.
Makes sense.
And I know there's people out there saying, you still can. I agree, probably, but am I going to be realistic? No, that's not happening. So I'll just watch it and enjoy it from afar.
Well, the dad is also on the ground, so I'd like to play a character who's on the ground and is going to live.
Yeah.
So, there you go. All right, next are our rules. These are our 7 rules on how to survive a horror movie. We apply these rules to the movies we watch and see how many rules are broken or not broken, and see if they increase or decrease chances of survival. Rule number 1, don't say hello or who's there.
Rule number 2, turn on the lights.
Rule number 3, don't split up.
Rule number 4, don't go upstairs in the basement, the attic, a big old tower that's rusting and going to fall.
Rule number 5, why are you going in there if it says don't enter or look spooky?
Or fall to your death.
Rule number 6 doesn't really apply, but okay.
Uh-huh. What was it, that warning that it said?
It did have a sign. Go ahead.
Exactly.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Rule number 6, make sure the bad guy is dead. That would be Dan, wouldn't it? So he's dead. number 7 for you.
Rule number 7, no Ouija board or seance. You added some, so thank you.
I did.
Go ahead then.
I put don't split up because Hunter went to get the bag.
Good point.
Yep.
They needed it though.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
And I put don't go up a 2,000 foot structure. Mm.
And then I put why are you going in there when there was a sign that says don't come in here.
Because you're going to die.
Literally death imminent.
Uh-huh.
So 3 out of 7 rules were broken. And guess what? 1 person died, 1 out of 2. So half of the characters, main characters.
Exactly.
Technically, 3 because Dan died. I mean, 2 because Dan died at the beginning.
Well, I mean, I'm counting him. So, yeah, the 3, 2 died.
True. Very nice. Very nice. And last but not least,
Ratings. Yes. We say these together at the same time to not influence or cause bias between us. So I will count us down this time.
Hold on. And we rate this on Cups of Horror.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry.
Because you're are a
horror cafe.
Cafe.
There you go.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So 3, 2, 1, 8. All righty. So we both agreed. 8 for each. Tally that up.
Beautiful. And we rented this movie on Amazon. You can also rent it on Vudu and Apple. It is available with a Stars subscription if you happen to have that.
And there you go.
So this was a fun one. This month was definitely fun. I'm glad you were on board with how are we getting out of this?
Of course. How could I not? These two movies that we watched this month, Frozen, not the Disney, and Fall, both of them starting with F, ironically.
Yes, F squared.
Mm-hmm. F squared.
Interesting.
We're
and
really
one word.
Yeah,
one word.
One word.
Excellent.
We're great.
Yes. They were entertaining.
Fantastic.
Anxiety driven. Mm-hmm. You literally put yourself in the shoes of these characters and wonder what would you do.
Right. Because no matter what you think you would do, it's probably not be that. It's probably not going to be that.
Agree. All right. So that wraps up April.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
And now we're going to May.
Guess what May is?
It is May Hauntings.
One of my other favorite subject matters. Ghosts. Found footage has taken over. You know, it has the crown. But like I always say, found footage and paranormal are usually one and the same. Yeah. But
so what's the first movie that we're going to be talking about in May?
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
It's Ouija, Origin of Evil.
You know, I...
By Mike Flanagan.
Of course. I don't remember seeing this movie.
I know I have. I don't know if you've seen it.
I do not remember seeing this. So and I it haven't... may be a first watch for me.
Ooh, that's exciting. And yeah. I haven't watched this, I think, since it came out.
Oh, excellent.
I remember it being very scary and very good. I do know the ending was great. Like, I can't wait to...
Could you try again?
That was scary. Siri just spoke to us.
That was creepy.
It was. Anyway, the point is...
Okay. And that was my work computer.
Anyway, you got some paranormal activity in the recording because we did not say anything to the computer over there.
Wow.
Weird. Okay. Perhaps you should close that when not in use.
Maybe.
I know I do. I never leave my laptop open.
Nobody's in this room. That's why I don't care.
Doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter.
Okay.
Just never know. Tech horror, Mom.
Point taken.
Tech horror.
Point taken.
Anyway, so join us next month for May Hauntings, and we are starting with Ouija. Ouija. I never know how to say that. Origin of Evil.
Watch it and, you know, comment. Let us know.
Oh, yes. And because I really should put this in the outro. Remember, we do take listener requests,
mm-hmm.
and you may send them to us via email, which is in the outro of every episode. Or you can send us a DM on IG, Instagram, or Facebook. Always give us at least 2 or 3 suggestions because we like to surprise you.
And
with
pick
what
one of them.
We pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, don't forget that little detail. And until then, that's a wrap on fall and... How do we get out of this? Thank you for joining us today on Horror Cafe Podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at our handle at Horror Cafe Podcast.
And you can also visit us at horrorcafepodcast.com, where you can learn a little bit about us and also listen to our podcasts.
If you're enjoying the podcast, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That'll really help us out. You can also choose to support the podcast with a monthly contribution. The link to this and everything else we've mentioned are in the notes section of the episode.
And in the meantime, stay spooky.
Bye, everyone.